Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear viewers, this is the second episode of the 16th topic that we began in the previous session. We had discussed that the Muslim traditional accounts which tell us that the various vowel sounds and diacritics were introduced in the text of the Quranic Masahif much later on. And this exercise began with the endeavor of Abul Asfat al-Duwali. And then it finalized in the times of Khalil bin Ahmad al-Farahidi when he, in the second vocalization phase, actually further reformed and further changed the vocalization of the Quran. I had described before you the three phases which have been described by the early Muslim sources in this regard, and we had seen that it was the first vocalization phase which involved Abul Asfat al-Duwali, a person who had not seen the Prophet, but he was present at his times. He had died in 69 Hijra, and he was a companion of Ali radiallahu anhu, from whom he's thought to have learned the principles of Arabic grammar and documented them. Then we had seen that the second phase which passed was the one that we call the diacritics phase, in which the diacritics were inserted. And then the third phase was again a vocalization phase, in which we had seen that the first vocalization phase underwent some changes, and then, of course, this account ends. Now, in this session and in the next ones, inshallah, I will critically analyze all these three phases and see how we can critically view them in the test of various tools of historical criticism. Viewers, today what we'll do is that we'll analyze the first vocalization phase, which actually depicts the endeavor of Abul Asfat al-Duwali. Now, the first question which comes to my mind when we read these Muslim accounts, especially the ones which depict Abul Asfat al-Duwali's endeavor, is that why is it that this account has not been reported by Abul Asfat al-Duwali's students, neither by his students nor by the students of his students? We do not find any report which his students say that he did such an endeavor. Whereas we do find his students telling us some of his other achievements, which I'll just mention. But first, let me point out that, for example, Hafiz Mizzi has recorded some of the students of Abul Aswad al-Duwali, and they are Sayyid ibn Abdul Rahman ibn Raqqash, Abdullah ibn Buraida, Umar ibn Abdullah, Mawla Ghufra, Yahya ibn Ya'mar, Abul Harb ibn al-Aswad. And to this list, we can add some more students on the authority of Abu Sayyid As-Sayarfi. His book is Akhbarun Nahviyin Al-Basriyin. And the ones that he added are Ambasa ibn Ma'adan, Maymun al-Aqran, and as per another opinion, Nasr ibn Asim also was his student. So these are the people who actually are his students, and we do not find any report from these students which tell us that Abul Aswad was the person who was responsible for this whole exercise. On the contrary, what we have is that we have certain other reports from his students, some of these students, which actually single out some of his other achievement, and which I shall just presently let you know. But one of his students is Yahya ibn Ya'mar, and he reports that Abul Aswad, at the behest of Ali, was the originator of the science of Nahav, or Arabic grammar. When he saw his daughter reading an Arabic expression wrongly. So similarly, another of Abul Aswad's students is Abul Harb ibn Abul Aswad, who is his son. He says that when his father was asked the source from which he obtained the science of Nahav, he replied that he derived its definitions from Ali radiallahu anhu. At another place, Abul Harb says that the first chapter which his father formulated on Nahav was a chapter on words of amazement or ta'ajjub. So in other words, the question, as I said, arises is that if his students are reporting the fact that he was the person who was the originator of Arabic grammar, he documented his principles, then why is it that they have not recorded this feat from him, that he was also the person who introduced vocalization on the Masahif? Now, not only this, viewers, what I further would like to point out is that there are other authorities and other people who have authored books on this topic, and they are the people who are the earliest authorities, and I'm going to point them out to you as well, who have mentioned Abul Aswad in detail, and who have mentioned his feats, and who have mentioned the fact that he was the originator of Arabic grammar or syntax or Nahav, but they have not at all referred to the fact that he was also the person responsible for introducing vowel signs in the Masahif. So this casts doubt, obviously, on the whole affair because its historicity is not that established. Now, let me also, in chronological order, point out to you the names and the books of these authorities and what they have said regarding Abul Aswad, regarding his achievement vis-a-vis Arabic grammar. Now, the first person to speak about him is Abu Ubaidah Ma'mur ibn al-Musanna, and his words are, أَوَّلُ مَنْ وُضِعَ النَّهَبْ أَبُ الْأَسْوَدِ. So this is what he says, and this is recorded by Andani in his Al-Muhkam. Then we have Muhammad ibn Salam al-Jumahi. His words are, كَانَ أَوَّلُ مَنْ أَسَّسَ الْأَرَبِيَّةِ. These words are recorded in Al-Jumahi's own extant book, and perhaps is the earliest occurrence to date of this fact in a written compilation that has reached us. So Jumahi in his own book has actually pointed this out, and his book is Tabqat Fuhul al-Shu'ara. So he, as I said, is the first person whose extant work has reached us, in which he has actually said that he was the person who had founded the principles of Arabiya, as the words are Awwalu man assasa al-Arabiya. Then viewers, on the third number we have Yahya ibn Ma'in, and his words are Huwa Awwalu man takallama fi an-Nahw. And then we have Ahmad ibn Abdullah ibn Salih al-Ijli, and his words are يُقَالُ إِنَّهُ أَوَّلَ مَنْ تَكَلَّمَ فِي النَّهَوْ. It is said that he is the first person who spoke about the science of Nahav. And let me also point out that whereas Ma'mar ibn Musanna, who was the first person who I have cited, he died in 209 Hijra. Muhammad ibn Salam al-Jumahi died in 232 Hijra, and then Yahya ibn Ma'in died in 233 Hijra, and he is the person whose words have been actually recorded by Ibn Abi Hatim in his Al-Jarh wa Ta'dil. Now, in the fourth place, viewers, we have Ahmad ibn Abdullah ibn Salih al-Ijli. I was just referring to him. He died in 261 Hijra, and he is the person who has recorded his words in Ma'rifat al-Siqat. So by citing the year of death of these people, you can also have a fair idea of the fact that they are earliest authorities, and they are the people who had spoken about what this endeavor actually was. And all of them almost are unanimous in citing the fact that he was the originator of the principles of Nahav, but none of them have cited that he was also the person responsible for introducing the Nuqat on the Masahif. In the fifth place, viewers, we have Abu Muhammad Abdullah ibn Muslim ibn Qutaybah. Now, he died in 276 Hijra, and the words that he said are وَهُوَ أَوَّلُ مَنْ وَضَعَ الْأَرَبِيَّةِ. He is the first person who actually originated the principles of Arabic grammar. In the sixth place, viewers, we have Ibn Habban, who died in 354 Hijra, and his words are هُوَ أَوَّلُ مَنْ تَكَلَّمَ فِي النَّهَوْ. It may be, I may also like to point out that the previous person, Ibn Qutaybah, had recorded his words in Al-Ma'arif, his famous book. And the one that I have just referred to is Ibn Habban. He has recorded these words in his As-Siqat. Then in the seventh place, viewers, we have Abu Bakr Ahmad ibn Ali ibn Munjawih al-Asbahani. And he died in 428 Hijra. So the words that he has recorded are هُوَ أَوَّلُ مَنْ تَكَلَّمَ عَنِ النَّهَوْ. Again, we can see almost similar words being recorded by all these authorities. And this, viewers, you can see in Rijal Sahih Muslim, these words. Then in the eighth place, viewers, we have Abul Walid Suleiman ibn Khalaf ibn Sa'ad al-Baji. His famous treatise, we all know, is At-Ta'dil wa Tajrih. And his word, he cites the opinion of Yahya ibn Ma'in, already quoted above, is exactly the same. Which Yahya ibn Ma'in has already said previously. In the ninth place, viewers, we have Abul Hasan Izzuddin al-Jazari ibn al-Asir. So Ibn Asir, who died in 630 Hijra, and may I also point out that al-Baji, the previous person, died in 474 Hijra. So Ibn Asir died in 630 Hijra, and he in his Usud al-Ghaba, the famous book on history, has recorded the words وَهُوَ أَوَّلُ مَنْ وَضَعَ النَّهَوْ. Again, the same, almost the same words. Then in the 10th place, viewers, we have Kamaluddin Umar ibn Ahmad ibn Abi Jarada. And he died in 660 Hijra. And the words that he has recorded are وَهُوَ أَوَّلُ مَنْ وَضَعَ عِلْمَ النَّهَوْ. And this has been recorded in Bughiyat Talab fi Tariqh al-Halab. 11th place, viewers, we have Muhyiddin Abu Zakariya Yahya ibn Sharaf ibn Marri ibn Hassan ibn Hussein ibn Muhammad ibn Jum'a ibn Hazm al-Nawawi. So he's Imam al-Nawawi, the famous Imam al-Nawawi, who is the the commentator on the Al-Jami al-Sahih of Imam Muslim. He died in 676 Hijriah. And the words that he has recorded are, وَهُوَ أَوَّلُ مَنْ تَكَلَّمَ فِي النَّحْوِ. So it's exactly the same that we see earlier people have recorded. And this has been recorded in An-Nabawi's Tahzib al-Asma wal-Lughat. In the 12th place of viewers, we have Ibn Khalid Khan. He died in 681 Hijrah, and the words that he has recorded are وَهُوَ أَوَّلُ مَنْ وَضَعَ النَّحْوِ in his Wafiyatul Ayan. Again, the words are exactly similar. The reason that I'm pointing out all these people before you viewers is the fact that it comes to your knowledge that there are all these early historians, all these people who spoke about Arabic Nahav and its principles and its inventor, originator, all of them point to Abul Asfat al-Duwali. And it is strange that if he was also the person who had introduced the vocal signs on the Masaif, then why isn't it that these people are also pointing out this feat of his that is alleged to have taken place and has been recorded by these narratives as well. Viewers, in the 13th place, we have Zahabi, who died in 746 Hijrah, and the words that he has recorded are وَهُوَ أَوَّلُ مَنْ وَضَعَ مَسَائِلْ فِي الْعَرَبِيَّةِ بِإِشَارَةِ الْعَلِي. So he was the person who, at the behest of Ali Rizal Anho, who recorded or documented the principles of Arabic grammar. And this Zahabi has recorded in his Marifatul Qurra al-Kibar. In 14thly, we have Ibn Kasir, who died in 774 Hijrah, and the words that he's recorded in his Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya are huwa awwalu man takallama fi an-nahw. Then we have Ibn Khaldun in his Tariq, and his words are Abul Aswad Vazi an-nahw. And Abul Aswad is the person who was the originator of the science of Nahav. In the 16th place, viewers, we have Ibn Taghlibardi, who died in 874 Hijrah, and who is actually the author of An-Nujum al-Zahira, in which the words that he recorded are regarding Abul Aswad are وَهُوَ أَوَّلُ مَنْ وَضَعَ إِلْمَ النَّهَفِ. In the 17th place, viewers, we have Al-Iqri, and he, in his work, famous work, Shazratu al-Zahab, Fi Akhbari Man Zahab, has recorded the words, وَهُوَ أَوَّلُ مَنْ وَزَعَ الْعَرَبِيَةِ. 18thly, viewers, we have Abdul Qadir ibn Umar al-Baghdadi, who died in 1093 Hijrah. Al-Iqri died in 1089, and he, the person I'm just about to let you know of, is Umar al-Baghdadi. He died in 1093 Hijrah. And he has recorded his words in Khazanatul Arab, Khazanatul Adab, Fi Wallubbi Lubabi Lisan al Arab. And his words are, Wahuwa Vazi wa Ilm al Arabiya bit Ta'alimi Ali. So he was the person who, at the behest or at the teach on a teaching or the guidance of Ali, who was responsible for writing the rules of Arabic grammar. In the 19th place, we have Sheikh Abbas al-Qummi, who died in 1359 Hijrah. And he, in his works, Al-Kuna wal-Alqab, says, هُوَ الَّذِي إِبْتَكَرَ النَّهَوْ بِإِشَارَ أَمِيرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِإِشَارَةِ أَمِيرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Again, exactly the same pattern. Then we have, in the 20th place, Sayyid Sharafuddin, who died in 1377 Hijrah. And the words that he has recorded are, هُوَ الَّذِي وَضَعَ إِلْمَ هُوَ الَّذِي وَضَعَ إِلْمَ النَّهَوْ عَلَى قَوَائِدِ أَخَذَهُ عَنْ أَمِيرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, referring to Ali رضي الله عنه. And he also has said that, as you can see from these words, that basically it was Abul Aswad who was the founder of the science of Arabic grammar or syntax or Nahav. And as most of these people have specified, that this he did at the behest of Ali رضي الله عنه. So viewers, this is the first point of critique that arises in my mind, that why is it that so many people are speaking of him later on, but we do not find any of them ascribing this feat to him. And more than that is the fact that why is it that his own students who report this feat from him and his immediate students, and then one of his students, Abul Harb, is obviously his son. He's not reported any introduction of vowel signs by him. And this is something which casts serious doubt on the whole situation. Now, the second point of criticism, viewers, is the fact that it is more than 100 years after Abul Aswad's death. And when I say his death, I actually refer to the fact that this endeavor was reportedly to have taken place around 40th Hijra. So the first person who ascribes the introduction of vocalization to him is Abu Ubaidah Ma'mur ibn Musanna, who died in 209 Hijra. So perhaps he is the first person who has recorded this ascription of vocalization to him. And besides him, some of the other people are Abul Hasan Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Mada'ini, who died in 225 Hijra. And then we have Muhammad ibn Ubaidillah ibn Amr al-Utbi, who died in 228 Hijra. And then we have Muhammad ibn Yazid al-Mubarrad, who died in 286 Hijra. So the question is that it is known that Abul Aswad died in 69 Hijra. And none of these people whom I've just read out are contemporaneous to Abul Aswad in any way. And so they are almost a century or a century and a half later. And they are the people who have ascribed this account to him. So again, the question which arises is that why is it that these reports or this endeavor was not reported by people who were contemporaneous to this endeavor? Viewers, the third question which arises in my mind in this regard is that the above reports, the people I've just mentioned earlier on who have reported these events, are munkata. They not only they are munkata, when they are obviously munkata because of the fact that the people who report them are not contemporaneous to Abul Aswad, but they have other problems as well. And let me enumerate these problems as well. But before I do so, I will cite them in their chronological order. So the first of them is Abu Ubaidah Ma'mur ibn Musanna. So Abu Ubaidah Ma'mur ibn Musanna, his report actually has no chain of narration. And the foremost person, as I've just described before you, to cite it is Abu Sa'id as-Sayrafi. And he is the person who died in 368 Hijra. And he has cited this in his book, Akhbarun Nahviyin al-Basriyin. So he cites this, the fact that he was, Abul Aswad was the person who introduced vowel signs, but his report does not have a chain of narration. The second person views in chronological order is Abul Hasan Ali ibn Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Mada'ini, who just referred to, and he died in 225 Hijra. Now you can see the chain of narration being displayed before you on the screen. And as far as this chain of narration is concerned, I'd like to point out that it has a lot of weakness in it. And for example, Isa ibn al-Hasan al-Warraq, who is being indicated before you by an arrow, is a person about whom no tawsiq is available in Rijal books, and therefore he is Majhul al-Hal. And then, viewers, you can see the person by the name of Hamad ibn Ishaq ibn Ibrahim. Now, no tawsiq about him is available as well in Rijal books, and again, he has to be regarded as Majhul al-Hal as well. And the third person in this regard, viewers, is Abul Hasan Ali ibn Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Mada'ini himself, who is the person who is the who reports this. And Ibn Adi says that he is laysa bil qawi fil hadith about him. This is what Ibn Adi says in his Al-Qamil fil Dhu'afa. Now, the third person, viewers, who had reported this, the fact that Abul Aswad is the person who has introduced vocalization into the Masaif, is Muhammad ibn Ubaidillah ibn Amr al-Utbi. If you remember, I had even read out the passage before you in my previous session regarding how he has told us, or how he has recorded in history, that Abul Aswad introduced these vowel signs. And now, as far as Muhammad ibn Ubaidillah is concerned, you can see the chart being displayed before you of the narratives which record this whole endeavor. And you can see that this chart is a rather comprehensive one. And this shows that there is a certain weakness in the narratives which are present. And as far as the jar on these narratives is concerned, I'll point out the fact that you can see the person by the name of Abu Ikrama, Amir ibn Imran ibn Ziyad al-Dabbi, being shown before you and indicated before you by the arrow. Now, no tawsiq is available on him in Rijal books, and therefore we have to regard him to be Majhul al-Hal. The other person who is being indicated is the person himself who is the reporter of this whole narrative, and he is Utbi. So Ibn Qutaybah as-Safadi and Ibn Khalikan record the following jar on him, and which is that kana mushtarihan bisharab. And on another similar note, Az-Zahabi records kana yashrabu, which means that he was a person who was given to drinking, and he was a person who drank liquor. The fourth person, viewers, who has reported the fact that Abul Aswad was the person who was responsible for introducing these vowel signs. His name is Muhammad ibn Yazid al-Mubarrad, and he died in 286 Hijra. Dani, if you remember, is the person who has cited his report in Al-Muhkam. And viewers, this has no chain of narration. So therefore, we can see that all these four chains of narration on all these four people who report this narrative or report the fact that he was the person who was responsible for reducing the vocalization signs on the Masahif, the chains are not only munkata, broken, but they have further problems which have been indicated. Now, as far as the reports are concerned, which say that the first person to put nukat on the Masahif was Abul Aswad, because we have these reports as well, which I cited in my first lecture, that he was the person who was responsible for reducing the nukat. The first person to narrate such a report is Az-Zubaydi in his Tabaqat. And he died in 379 Hijra with reference to Al-Mubarrad. So the inqita here also is obvious. So here again we can see that the first person who is actually reporting the fact, he is Zubaydi, that he in his Tabaqat is reporting the fact with reference to Al-Mubarrad that Abul Aswad was the first person who had originated the Nukat. He himself Mubarrad himself died in 286 Hijra, and therefore, as I said, the inqita here is also obvious. So in all, we can see that all of the reports which ascribe this feat to him are historically not tenable. Now, viewers, the fourth question which comes to my mind in this regard is that the accounts of Al-Madaini and Utbi cited earlier mentioned that Abul Aswad was induced to put nukut on the Masahif when he heard someone wrongly reading the famous verse of Surah Tawbah. And this is on the one hand. On the other hand, it is reported by Abad ibn Habib al-Mahallab, and he died in 181 Hijra, that when Abul Aswad heard someone wrongly reading the Masahif, he resolved to institute the rules of Arabic grammar. So this report, on the contrary, does not say that he went about introducing vocal signs on the Masahif. It, on the contrary, says that he was induced to actually formulate the rules of Arabic grammar. Furthermore, there is another report by Ibn Abi Malaika, who died in 117 Hijra, and I shall also presently discuss him later on, which says that this very verse of Surah Tawbah was wrongly taught to and read by a Bedouin. So when Omar heard of this, he asked Abul Aswad to institute the rules of Arabic grammar. Again, there is no mention of Nukat. So we can clearly see that it is this verse of Surah Tawbah which, number one, at times occurs to induce Abul Aswad to institute Arabic grammar and at times to institute the Nukat. And then we have at times an incident in the time of the Caliph Umar and at times in the times of Muawiyah to induce its listener to two different acts. Thus, we can clearly see, viewers, that this is something which we cannot totally rely upon. Yet how is it that people who are citing the same verse, but again they are commenting or inducing or deducing something entirely different from the whole endeavor? Because now I come to the fifth question which has arisen in my mind when I critically analyze these early Muslim accounts regarding Nukat. The first person in which Abul Aswad's Nukat accounts are recorded is Al-Waqf wal-Ibtida'i by Ibn al-Lambari, which I have already said before. Ibn al-Lambari is the person who died in 329 Hijra. However, at least there are five major works prior to Al-Waqf al-Ibtida'i which record biographical entries on Abul Aswad but are devoid of any mention of the fact that he was the person also responsible for putting the Nukat on the Masahif. This is absolutely strange. If you have five major books which were prior to Al-Waqf al-Ibtida of Ibn al-Lambari, which actually mention the biographical accounts of Abul Aswad, but they do not mention any such feat ascribed to him. Number one in this list is Tabqat of Ibn Sa'd. Ibn Sa'd, as you know, died in 230 Hijra. So Ibn Sa'd gives a short biographical entry on Abul Aswad, which says that he was a poet and became the governor of Basra. Similarly, it also contains a note on Ziyad ibn Abi. But these entries are devoid of any mention of Abul Aswad inserting Nukat. As you would recall, Ziyad ibn Abi was the person who had requested Abul Aswad to undertake this task. So Tabqat of Ibn Sa'd is devoid of any mention. It mentions some details about the lives of Abul Aswad and Ziyad ibn Abi, but as far as Abul Aswad himself is concerned, the details are slightly more than those of Ziyad ibn Abi. An endeavor such as putting the nukut on the Musayyaf does not find any mention here. The second in this regard, viewers, is Tabaqatul Fuhul al-Shu'ara by Muhammad ibn Salam al-Jumahi, and he died in 232 Hijrah. Now, al-Jumahi gives a short biographical entry on Abul Aswad, which says that he was the first to institute the rules of grammar, but does not mention anything about the nukut. Again, the same thing. The third book in this regard is by Al-Ijli, and his book is Ma'rifat al-Siqat, and Ijli died in 261 Hijrah. So he records that Abul Aswad is from among the prominent Tabi'un, a companion of Ali, and a person who was the first to talk about Nahav. However, he records nothing on his contribution to the science of Nukat. The fourth person in this regard is Ibn Qutaybah in his Al-Ma'arif, and Ibn Qutaybah died in 276 Hijrah. Ibn Qutaybah gives a short biographical entry on Abul Aswad, which says that he was a poet, was the first to formulate the rules of Arabic grammar, and became the governor of Basra, but does not mention anything with regard to his role in the insertion of Nukat in the Musayyaf. And finally, the fifth book in this regard is Al-Jarh wa-Ta'dil by Ibn Abi Hatim, and who died in 327 Hijrah. And Ibn Abi Hatim's short biographical entry on Abul Aswad records his real name as Zalim ibn Amr, and he states that he is a reliable narrator, is also the first who formulated Nahav. The entry is devoid of any mention of the fact that he was responsible for putting Nukat on the Musahif. So it is from the first quarter of the 4th century onwards that we find books recording accounts which attribute introduction on the Musahif by Abul Aswad. So basically it is from the first quarter of the 4th century. And these works are Maratib al-Nahviyin by Abu Tayyib, and we have Kitab al-Aghani by Abul Farj, we have Akhbar al-Nahviyin by Sayrafi, then we have Tabaqat al-Nahviyin by Zubaydi, Firist by of Ibn Nadim, Al-Muhkam by Ad-Dani, Tariq Madina Dimashq by Ibn Asakir, Nuzhat al-Alibba by Ibn Ambari, and Imba al-Ruwat by Qifti. So these are the works which actually which begin from the first quarter of the 4th century onwards, which start to record this endeavor or ascribe this endeavor to Abul Aswad. Now, in this regard, it must be noted that the first historian to say that Abul Aswad was the first person to put Nukat on the Musayyaf is Ibn al-Jawzi. And Ibn al-Jawzi died in 597 Hijrah. And he does not mention various accounts which record Abul Aswad's endeavor. So he does not mention various accounts. He merely mentions the fact that Abul Aswad was the first to put Nukat on the Musayyaf. So he does not give any details the way, for example, Utbi or Madaini have given how Abul Aswad went about. He just says that he was the first person to introduce Nukat on the Musayyaf. And similar statements are recorded by Yaqut al-Hamawi and Safadi and by Az-Zahabi. So there are works even after the first quarter of the 4th century, right up to the 9th century, which mention biographical information about Abul Aswad, but do not mention his endeavor in the insertion of the Nukat. So although we have works from the first quarter of the 4th century, which I've just cited, we still have works beyond this era, right up to the 9th century, which again mention that Abul Aswad's biographical note, or some biographical information about him, but they do not mention anything with regard to his role in the insertion of the Nukat. Thus we have As-Siqat of Ibn Habban, who died in 354 Hijrah. Ibn Habban recorded that Abul Aswad, who took part in the Battle of Siffin, was deputed as a governor of Basra and was the first to institute Nahav. Ibn Habban died in 354 Hijrah. Then we have At-Tadil wa At-Tajrih of Al-Baji, who died in 464 Hijrah. Al-Baji records various reponents about his name, that he was the first to institute Nahav, was a reliable narrator, and died in the plague of 69 Hijrah. Then we have Usud al-Ghaba by Ibn Asir. Ibn Asir records that Abul Aswad was not able to acquire the companionship of the Prophet, was a famous Tabi'i, was a companion to Ali, who made him the governor of Basra and was the first to institute Nahav, was a poet and a very profound literary figure. Then we have Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya of Ibn Kathir, who died in 772 Hijra, and this is a compendium on Muslim history. It's a huge work on Muslim history, and Ibn Kathir gives a short biographical entry on Abul Aswad, which says that among other details, he was the first to formulate Nahv, the science of Nahv. Then we have Tariq of Ibn Khuldun, the famous polymath Ibn Khuldun, who died in 808 Hijra. And Ibn Khuldun mentions the fact that Abul Aswad was the first person to formulate Arabic grammar. So the fact is, viewers, that this is something which is very strange, that these people who actually succeed those people who postdate those people who were mentioned earlier on, who do mention the fact that Abul Aswad was the first person to insert Nukat. These are the people who succeeded them, who postdated them, and right up to Ibn Khuldun. Now, Ibn Khuldun is a person who would not leave out any piece of information in his book if that information is reliably transmitted. And you can clearly see a pattern emerging in these historical books, and that is that there seems to be a consensus that Abul Aswad is the person who was actually the originator of the science of Nahv. And more or less, almost every authority has pointed this out. But we do not find any person in these books which I have just referred to, barring the ones that I referred to earlier, which say that Abul Aswad was also responsible for introducing the Nukat on the Masaif. The sixth point of critique that arises in my mind is that the strangest omission of Abul Aswad's endeavor is in the Kitab al-Masaif and of Ibn Abi Dawud. Ibn Abi Dawud, we know, died in 316 Hijra. Now, the whole book, actually, for all those who have studied Ibn Abi Dawud's Kitab al-Masaif, is regarding various types of information on the Masaif, which includes the collection of the Quran, which includes the Qirat of the Quran, it includes various Masaif, and it includes chapters after chapters on the script of the Quran as well. So it has a narrative which says that the first person to put Nukat on the Masaif was Yahya ibn Ya'mar. So we even have a narrative to this effect. It mentions narratives that records the names of early authorities who disliked putting Nukat on the Masaif and others who did not see any harm in it. So we have such details as well. It mentions a narrative which records the opinion of Hasan al-Basri that charging money for putting Nukat on Masaif was not a problem. It records a detailed narrative on the authority of Abu Hatim Sajistani on the methodology of putting Nukat on the Masaif. The initial part of the narrative even describes the same scheme as that of Abul Aswad. So there is a narrative which even describes the same scheme as the one which is ascribed to Abul Aswad, but without taking his name. There is no mention of his name. Now, it is quite strange in the wake of all these details that the same scheme be described, but it not be attributed to Abul Aswad himself. So, viewers, as I said, that this is the strangest omission to me is the fact that a book which was written on the script of the Masaif, on the collection of the Quran, on all the issues which relate to the Mus'haf, and as I said, it has a lot of details on the script and orthography of the Mus'haf, but it has no detail or no mention of the fact that Abul Aswad was in any way responsible for introducing the Nukat on the Masaif. Now, the seventh question or the seventh critique which comes to my mind is that the accounts of Al-Madaini and Uthbi cited earlier mentioned that it was at the behest of Ziyad ibn Abi, who died in 53 Hijra, he was the governor of Basra, that Abul Aswad undertook this task. So as you remember, that Ziyad ibn Abi had summoned Abul Aswad and requested him to undertake this task. Now, accounts obviously mention his name differently as Ziyad ibn Abi Sufyan, Ziyad ibn Sumayya, Ziyad ibn Amma, and Ziyad ibn Ubaid. So we have different names in books of Muslim history. But none of the following books, viewers, I'm going to mention some of them, mention that Ziyad ibn Abi had any role in any way in putting the Nukat. These books don't even cite the fact that he had summoned, he got worried about the situation and he had summoned Abul Aswad to introduce Nukat on the Masaif. And let me point out some of the famous books in this regard who mention biographical details of Ziyad ibn Abi, but do not mention anything with regard to this endeavor. Now, they include Tabaqat of Ibn Sa'd, number one. Then we have Ma'rif of Ibn Qutaybah. Then we have Akhbar At-Tiwal by Dinwari. And then we have Al-Isti'ab by Ibn Abdul Barr. And also is worthy of mention is Tariq Madina Dimash by Ibn Asakir. And viewers, also I would like to point out, it is worth noting that authorities mentioned that Ziyad ibn Abi himself remained a scribe of Mughira ibn Shu'bah. So he was a person who was a scribe of Mughira ibn Shu'bah. And this has been mentioned by Al-Iqtul Farid of Abul Fajr al-Asbahani. But that's another piece of information that I wanted to give you. So I had come to Ibn Asakir's Tariq Madina Dimash. It does not mention anything with regard to Ziyad ibn Abi's role. Then in the sixth place, we have Al-Muntazim of Ibn al-Jawzi. Then we have Al-Kamil fi Tariq of Ibn Asir, the seventh book. In the eighth place, we have Siru ala bin Nubala by Az-Zahabi. In the ninth place, we have Fawatul Wafayat by Muhammad ibn Shakir al-Qutbi. In the tenth, this is the ninth book. The tenth place, we have Al-Wafi bil Wafayat by As-Safadi. In the 11th place, we have Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya of Ibn Kasir. The 12th is Al-Isaba by Ibn Hajar. The 13th is Lisanul Mizan by Ibn Hajar. Then in the 14th place, we have Majmu' al-Bahrain by Shaykh Tarihi. And finally, viewers, the 15th book is Ayan al-Shia by Sayyid Mohsin al-Amin, who died in 1371 Hijrah. All these books, viewers, mention accounts of Ziyad ibn Abi, but they do not mention any insinuation of the fact that he had summoned Abul Aswad for this task. Now, viewers, as far as the eighth point of critique is concerned, all chains of narration of the accounts cited under points 2 and 3, which I had earlier on pointed out, they all hinge on a final Basran narrator. So it was all the Basran reporters who narrate this incident. Now, is this a mere coincidence, or does this smell of Basran bias over the Kufans? We know that the Basrans and the Kufans were pitted against each other. They had a lot of debates and a lot of issues with one another. So can we say that all these reports would actually tell us that Abul Aswad was responsible, some of these reports, although they have their problems, but we still find that they consist of people who are Basran report. The final person who reports is a Basran. So this is a question. Now, in contrast to this, what is attributed to Abul Aswad, the Duali's endeavor in putting the Arab on the Quran, it may be noted that sources also record the authority of Abdullah ibn Ubaidullah ibn Amn al-Malaika with reference to the same incident, that it was at the behest of Umar that Abul Aswad had constituted the rules of Arabic grammar. So we have an entirely new version in which, at the behest of Umar radiallahu anhu, it was Abul Aswad who had introduced the rules of Arabic grammar. And as per this report, a Bedouin came over to Medina in the reign of Umar and asked for someone who would teach him what was revealed to Muhammad. Now, it is reported that a person taught him Surah Tawbah, and he read the following verse by altering the vocalization of the last word. So he read it as Anallaha bariyum minal mushrikeena wa rasuluhu. This is actually the verse, but he read it as Anallaha bariyum minal mushrikeena wa rasulihi. So, at this, the Bedouin said, "Is God acquitted of His messenger?" Because if we read the verse as "Anallaha bariyum al mushrikeena wa rasulihi," it would mean that God is acquitted of the mushrikun as well as His messenger. Which, of course, ma'azallah, is something not acceptable. So this is what that Bedouin remarked. In fact, he went on to say that if he is acquitted of his messenger, that I am more acquitted of the messenger of God. Because if God has forsaken his messenger, I am even more careful in this. So when these words of the Bedouin reached Umar, who called him over and said, obviously got alarmed. He said, "Are you acquitted of the messenger?" The Bedouin replied that he came over to Medina, did not have any knowledge of the Quran, and asked for someone to teach him the Quran. The Bedouin continued that the person taught him Surah Tawbah, and he read it, of course, as he read it by declining the word Rasul in the genitive by saying, Anallaha bariyum al-mushrikeena wa rasulihi. So at this, he said that whether God is acquitted of his messenger, and if he is acquitted of his messenger, then he, the Bedouin, is even more acquitted of the messenger of God. So at this, Umar radiallahu anhu told the Bedouin that this is not so. The Bedouin then promptly asked for an explanation. Umar then read the verse correctly, and the correct verse is Anallaha bariyum al-mushrikeena wa rasuluhu. So the word rasul is declined in the nominative here, and which would give the meaning that both God and his messenger are acquitted or have announced their acquittal from the mushrikun. So the Bedouin swore by God and said that he is acquitted of those of whom God and his messenger are acquitted. Umar then ordered that no one except a person who has sound knowledge of Arabic should teach the Quran, and then directed Abul Aswad to formulate the Arabic Nahav, and which obviously he did so. So as you can clearly see that we have another report, although this report is not very sound as reported by various sources, but again we have this alternative account, and I have cited this alternative account because other reports which mention Abul Aswad themselves are not well grounded. So if we have another report equally not well grounded, then we are comparing two not very well grounded reports with each other. And this particular report is actually telling us that Umar Ta'ala Anho was the person, when he saw a Bedouin wrongly reading the same Quranic verse which we have referred to earlier, he became alarmed, and he actually said that only people who are well versed with Arabic grammar should teach the Quran. And he then asked Abul Aswad to institute the rules of Arabic grammar. Viewers, finally, the ninth point of critique that comes to my mind is that Hamza ibn al-Hasan al-Asbahani and Abu Ahmad al-Askari, who are the first to record the diacritics phase on the Masahif, the way they have recorded this, I have cited both of them earlier on in my previous talk, the way they have cited this clearly shows, or in fact it clearly negates that Abul Aswad had any role to put the Nukat on the Quran. Because the way they cited this whole incident shows that nothing happened earlier on, and nothing happened in the times from Usman till the time of Abdul Malik ibn Marwan. It only says that the misreading of the Masahif had arisen. So if you would recall, I had cited the passage before you, and I'll just recite that passage before you once again, which tells us that these reports say that misreading of the Masahif had arisen from the times of Caliph Usman until the time of Abdul Malik ibn Marwan. So the words that are reported are, it is narrated that the reason to put Nukat on the Masahif was that people, and I'm reading this out actually as a translation from Shara Ma Yaqaw Fihi Tashif Wa Tahrif of Abu Ahmad al-Askari. So the words are, it is narrated that the reason to put Nukat on the Masahif was that people continued to read the Masahif of Usman for almost 40 years until the era of Abdul Malik ibn Marwan arrived. So between this era, it clearly says nothing happened. And we know that Abul Aswad existed in between this era. And again, it goes on to say that then misreading or tasheef of the script of the Quran became rampant and spread to Iraq. So Al-Hajjaj anxiously turned to his scribes and asked them to devise signs for these similar letters. It is said that Nasr ibn Asim took this responsibility, and he devised dots, ones and twos, and placed them differently by putting them on top or on the bottom. And people stuck to this method of Nasr for many years and would not write the Masahif without putting Nukat. But even after using Nukat, misreading of the Masahif continued. And so they invented Ijam. And then we have a whole report continuing further. I've already actually read this report out earlier. I'm not going to repeat what has already been said out, although I've just referred to part of it so that it can become clear that in this ninth point of critique, the way these two authorities have described the second phase, which was the phase in which the diacritics or the Ijam were introduced, they clearly say that since the time of Usman, from that time onwards till the time of Abdul Malik ibn Abdul Marwan arrived, 40 years passed, and it says nothing happened except for the fact that misreading of the Masahif increased. So had there been any endeavor of Abul Aswad being present or existing at that time, this report should not have been reported the way it has been. It should have mentioned the fact that this tasheef, although it crept up, but still one of the measures which was adopted was that Abul Aswad actually tried to introduce vocal signs. But there's a complete silence of these reports on this whole endeavor. So viewers, this is a summary, a 9-point critique, in fact, on the whole issue of the first vocalization phase, which I mentioned in my previous talk, which I've tried to critically evaluate in this talk. And inshallah, in the subsequent talks, we shall look at the subsequent phases of this developments of diacritics and vocalization on the Mus'haf. Till then, أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات.